Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Brent Phillips is CEO of Regional Health. It's a billion-dollar health system. It operates healthcare facilities across western South Dakota. And he joins us now from our Rapid City studios. Brent Phillips, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Now, you're coming back from the morning fill-up this morning. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So let's start with maybe some of the hot topics during the morning fill-up today. Were you coming with to just have people ask you questions, or were you coming with some information?
Well, I would say it's a little bit of both. We had great dialogue with questions about changes that are going on within regional health. We talked about the economy, the impact that the not-for-profit sector has within a community and how it partners with the for-profit as well as government. We talked about Medicaid expansion. We talked about Indian Health Services. We covered really a breadth of topics. It was a wonderful discussion.
And what were you hearing from the folks that were there? What were their concerns and the questions they really wanted answered?
Well, I think universally, everyone is concerned about economic development and how do we sustain ourselves as a community. People are very interested in healthcare and how we improve access to healthcare, how we improve the quality of healthcare for the entire community. What are we doing in partnership to address some of the social challenges that exist within all of our communities in the areas of housing, high school dropout, childcare, workforce development, many of the social factors that not only impact the community at large, impact healthcare, and impact our abilities as communities to thrive.
And so when we talk about that morning fill-up, we should probably go ahead and describe what it is. It's hosted by the NUMAD Group, is that correct?
That's correct.
And how many people show up to that at the garage in Rapid City?
I would say on average between 80 and 100.
So it draws a fairly big crowd on a monthly basis, is my understanding as well. 10 largest employers in western South Dakota, is that correct?
You would know the stat better than I, but for we have 5,000 caregivers. In West River, we're the largest employer.
And some turnover in there as you kind of move forward to expand. Do you want to talk a little bit about bringing the right people on the team and how that can shake some things up in your among your employees?
Sure. You know, I think it starts with the vision that we've created, that we aspire to be the best health system in America. And in order to be the best health system in America, we need to all be our best every day. And so we've set a goal at being the best, which means we want to have the best engagement of our community, best patient experience. We want to have the best clinical programs that are possible here in West River. We want to have the best facilities. We want to have the safest environment. We need to have great leadership. We need to have great physicians. And so when we set an aspirational goal of being the best, providing the best healthcare in America, it sets a high bar. It engages and empowers many people to aspire to be part of that that journey, which is a very exciting journey. Unfortunately, there's individuals that may not aspire to be the best. They're comfortable in the status quo. And that, I think, is what we are challenging, is the status quo. I don't believe that South Dakota or West River should settle for second best healthcare. I think we all deserve the best healthcare possible. And so by setting that as a goal and moving in that direction, it has caused all of us to change.
Do you think they have settled in West River for second best healthcare in the past?
No, I wouldn't say settled for second best. But, you know, I've had opportunities to work in fantastic organizations throughout my career. I spent 10 years at Mayo Clinic. I was with Aurora Healthcare in Wisconsin, Sentara Healthcare in Virginia. All fantastic organizations, all are striving to improve. And I would say that's what we're doing as well here at Regional Health. We are striving to improve that tomorrow we are a better organization providing better service and higher quality than we did the day before. And I think all healthcare organizations are striving in that same manner.
You've talked in the past about rebuilding trust or building trust with Native American patients and customers or just community members. Talk a little bit about that and how you're being intentional at trust building among certain communities.
Well, I think one of the most important things is we have to be present. We have to educate ourselves. I'm new to South Dakota. I'm new to the Native American challenges and the history and the heritage of South Dakota, Native American and non-Native American. And so part of my first 15 months has really been learning and doing a lot of listening and asking myself, where are the gaps? Where's the trust broken down? And what can we do to start to bring people together to have meaningful conversations and set goals that benefit us as an entire community? I had the privilege last summer to participate in a Bush Foundation grant that brought 40 community leaders, Lakota and non-Lakota, around. And we took a week and we toured the Black Hills and we toured the sacred sites for the Lakota people. And it was a fantastic experience that frankly changed my life as well as the other 40 participants. We took that same model and reproduced it and used the same instructors and the same route and invited healthcare providers from Pine Ridge Reservation, Rosebud Reservation, Susan Hospital here in Rapid City, and then regional health caregivers from across all five of our hospitals and recreated the same thing. And so we had 45 caregivers together for an entire week getting to know one another and gaining appreciation and information about Native American heritage here in Western South Dakota. It was not only beneficial for the non-Natives, the American Indians that participated were equally educated and benefited from that information sharing.
So what are your thoughts on Medicaid expansion? You alluded to it earlier, and where the state is at as far as Medicaid expansion.
I think Medicaid expansion is absolutely critical for the benefit of the state of South Dakota. Unfortunately, I think it's been portrayed as a Native American solution, and that is just not the case. There's 47,500 beneficiaries of a Medicaid expansion in the state. Only 15,000 are Native American. 32,500 are non-Native American. This is a benefit to the entire state, not just Native Americans. If you think about 47,500 people who currently do not have access to primary care, do not have access to preventive services, only have access to emergency rooms and emergency medicine, we now have a large population of people that are able to access healthcare, live a more healthy life, get the preventive services they need, and many of them are working, so they are healthier on the job force. They miss work less often. They are more productive. It is a benefit to the entire state.
Obviously, this is a business. It's a not-for-profit business, but obviously you have a business model that you have to work into. But when I hear you talk, I also feel a sense of frustration of not being able to help as many people as you think you could. Am I hearing that correctly?
I mean, that's the case. I mean, we are a not-for-profit. We don't have shareholders. The revenue that's left over after we pay all of our bills stays in a bank account that is used to the benefit of the community. We start new programs. We expand buildings. We hire new physicians. We give pay increases to our nursing staff and our other staff. It is very much a community benefit. But the needs are significant. The needs of our communities outstrip the resources that healthcare providers have by themselves. And that's why the partnership of not-for-profits in healthcare and non-healthcare, working with civic leaders and the business community, is critically important to solve some of these deep-rooted challenges that our society faces.
Looking at expansions in Rapid City, Custer building an $18 million hospital there, $4 million of that provided by the community. How much expansion is too much to take on at once? And how do you balance that as a healthcare system?
That's a great question. You know, ideally, we would have began some of these expansions 5 years ago, but they weren't done, and so we're beginning them now. We have three different communities that we're going to be expanding in. You know, the Custer model is a perfect model. That community came together, said healthcare is very important for us as a community to help us grow as a community, and we want to partner with Regional Health. They're actually contributing $4 million of the $18 million. So approximately 22% of the cost of a brand new hospital and clinic is being provided by the community. I attended the city council meeting with the mayor. It was open to the public, and there was not a single person there that was opposed to this half-cent sales tax increase that is being used to provide better health care in a community. A great example of community working, a community as a whole working in the, with the not-for-profit healthcare organization to improve health. And when we think about the downstream benefits of having a great healthcare system, it allows us to recruit more businesses, recruit workers. We provide jobs locally. The economic impact of regional health throughout the Black Hills is between $950 and $1.2 billion. We have 5,000 caregivers ourselves, but we actually generate enough business that employs another 9,000 people throughout the Black Hills. It's a tremendous responsibility, but a tremendous impact for the overall economy. And I think the Custer community absolutely understand that, and they embraced it. Our Sturgis market, we're expanding our clinic operations to provide more access to patients. And here in Rapid City, we have about a $200 million expansion where we have about a third of our beds are semi-private, and no one wants to have a roommate when they feel sick. And so we're expanding, building a new tower. We'll have all private rooms, expanding the emergency department. Our emergency department is the busiest emergency department in North and South Dakota, with over 66,000 visits. It's very crowded. We have great physicians, great caregivers, but there's only so much they can do with the space they have. We're expanding that operation to provide better service to our patients, all patients that come. Ideally, we would like to expand our women and children's area, and we're also building a medical office building to make it easier for patients to see their doctor, and if they need tests to go to the hospital, then it's all in one facility.
How has the Affordable Care Act changed your business?
Well, unfortunately, the Affordable Care Act has not lived up to what it was promised to be. We don't have, as a community, as a public, we don't have access to health care like we thought we were going to. Health care costs continue to increase, and we don't see any reduction in that in sight. Unfortunately, I think it would be, I would put it in the failure category. It's not delivered what was expected. It's critical that we reform healthcare. There's no doubt about it. That has not been an option that's worked for us.
Do you see that changing with an upcoming election in November?
Well, it depends on who gets elected, I guess. You know, it's complex. It depends who's in the White House. It depends who's going to control Congress. It depends if the, regardless of who's in either, if they can in fact work together.
So if it stays the same, essentially, what are the challenges in your business, and how do you move forward if it stays with a similar philosophy in Washington?
Well, the challenges we face are reduced reimbursement. People don't have access to health care. They use an emergency department, which is not an ideal place for them to receive health care. And we see that only growing. On the west side of the state, we have additional challenges. The VA system and the reforms and the changes in the VA system have not been beneficial to the veterans. The veterans, we see delays in them being able to receive care, and it's not because the doctors don't want to see them. If a procedure is needed, they have to get permission from the VA, which sometimes can take months before we get permission to actually do the procedure. And that can be a treatment that's diagnostic, or it could be a treatment for an actual confirmed problem such as cancer. And then the other challenge is once you've done the procedure, it sometimes takes months to get paid by the VA. My fear is that the provider community is going to reach a certain point that they're going to say enough is enough. We can't afford to care for veterans because we don't get paid and the hassle factor is too great. And that's a travesty when we think about the veterans and what they've done for us, and then they don't have access to health care because of the bureaucracy. We have to fix those kinds of problems.
So can you do that? Can you refuse care to someone who can't pay as a
nonprofit?
No,
we do provide the care. The challenge is they have health care coverage. We're just not able to get permission to actually perform the care until it gets authorized. And sometimes that authorization process can take weeks and months.
Right. So the question is the same, though. Then if a veteran comes in or someone comes in and they don't, they're waiting for authorization, you can turn them away at that point without the proper authorization?
We're actually not allowed to do the procedure until we get the authorization from the VA.
Hmm. Any final words here, Mr. Phillips, about that you wanted to add before we let you go?
Well, I appreciate the chance to speak to your audience and just to share the overarching message that our purpose statement, why we exist here in regional health, is helping patients and communities live well, and that's all members of our community. You know, our vision statement, we aspire to be the best health system in America, and that's going to take not only the 5,000 caregivers that work at regional health, but all the communities that we work in, working together to reach that goal. And the beauty is it benefits all of us by having better health care and better access to health care throughout the Black Hills. So thank you very much.
We thank you for your time, sir. You've been listening to Brent Phillips. He's the CEO of Regional Health.